tell me a Parsha story.
Welcome to Parsha Pals.
Meet Reva. Reva lives in the cheerful town of Waldoxie. Reva was curious and creative, and she loved to build things. She built tree houses and bird feeders, and even an almost working gumball machine. Her favorite thing was her bright red toolbox. It was a birthday gift from her great-great-grandfather, who had been a master carpenter. Reva's toolbox had a note taped inside the lid that read, "Every tool has a voice. If you listen close enough." At first, Reva thought it was just a nice saying. But one afternoon, while Reva was trying to build a bookshelf for her sister's dolls, she felt like the tools were actually talking to her. Not magically, not with real voices, but in her mind, she heard little ideas that were being whispered as if they were talking to her. You see, Reva was very frustrated because the shelf was coming out very wobbly and the edges looked uneven. And she said, "Ugh, this is terrible. I'm no good at building." And that is when she heard a tool talk. It seemed to be the hammer. "Hey there," said the hammer, tap, tap, tapping against the edge of the toolbox. "Reva, let's not start with what's wrong. What did you get right?" Reva blinked and thought for a minute. "The frame is pretty sturdy and strong, I guess." "Exactly," chimed in the screwdriver. "And you measured the sides carefully. That takes patience and focus." And then the tape measure flopped out with a snap. "Not bad for a girl who's only 10, it said, and who, I might add, remembered to sand the edges. Reva sat up straighter and straighter. "Hey," she said, "I did do all that." She looked at her half-finished bookshelf. Sure, it wasn't perfect, but it had some really good parts, and Reva picked up the hammer with new energy. "Okay, bookshelf, here we go." And as she worked, the voices of the tools guided her, not with magic, but with confidence. And the wise voice of her great-grandfather was in her heart, reminding her that every tool has a voice if you listen close enough. The next week, when Reva was at school, she noticed that her friend Racheli had messed up her science project and overheard Racheli say, "It's awful, I can't do anything right." And Reva remembered her toolbox. "Actually," Reva said, "your chart was super clear, and the research you did, all that you studied about your topic, was amazing. And I even am going to start using your idea about using bright colors to help explain the different important ideas." Racheli blinked and was surprised. "Thanks, I guess I could fix the stuff that needs fixing." Reva smiled. The toolbox was right. Her grandfather's quote was right. Every person has some good in them if you take the time to look. And every tool has a voice if you listen closely enough to the message, in this case being to look for the good. Rabbi Fran teaches that this week's parsha, Parshat Shemini, is the first time in the Torah that we see all the details of which animals are kosher and which are not kosher in the Torah. And the two signs that let us know that an animal is kosher are, one, for its hooves to be completely split, and two, it needs to chew its cud. And the Torah in Parshat Shemini talks about four specific animals that we're not allowed to eat because they have one of those two signs, but not the other. The camel, the gamal, chews its cud, but it's not kosher because it does not have split hooves. The same is true with the shafan and the arnevet. They chew their cud, but they don't have split hooves. And the pig, the chazir, is not allowed to be eaten because it does have a split hoof, but it doesn't chew its cud. And the Midrash points out that in all of these four animals, the Torah mentions the kosher sign that it does have, and then it mentions what it doesn't have, right? We said that the gamal and the shafan and the arnevet, they chew their cud, but they don't have split hooves. And the chazir has split hooves, but doesn't chew its cud. Why does the Torah do this? Why doesn't the Torah just get straight to the point and let us know that it's not kosher and we can't eat it? The Midrash teaches that even when the Torah needs to tell us that there's an animal that isn't kosher that we can't eat, it begins by first saying the positive characteristic that the animal has. The pig, it has split hooves. The camel, it chews its cud. Even when the Torah is telling us that we're not allowed to eat something, the Torah goes out of its way to first share a positive fact about that animal. And so, if Hashem in the Torah, even when talking about an impure animal, first finds something good to say about it, we need to make sure that we learn this lesson in our lives. And when we look at anything in the world, and especially at other people, everybody has shortcomings. Everybody has things that don't make them perfect, but we need to make the effort to look first for all the positive things to say. Hashem is sending us an important message. Every person, every situation, let's stop and take the time to look for the good that we could notice. And Riva learned this lesson as well in the story with her toolbox. I hope we can all look for lots of opportunities today, this Shabbat, and always to bring this message into our lives, because every bookshelf, every person, and yes, even every pig, has something good that's worth our noticing. Shabbat Shalom! to all.